Welcome to Holistic Accountant Podcast, where we aim to showcase how adopting a holistic approach in accounting and tax maximizes value for clients. Beyond traditional tasks like preparing financial statements and tax returns, a holistic accountant focuses on offering advice that maximizes personal wealth on an after-tax basis. If you enjoy this episode, please consider leaving a rating and sharing it with those who might also benefit. And to ensure you stay updated, subscribe to our weekly email. The link is in the show notes. All right. Today, Mina and I would like to talk about whether to own your car in a business. And ironically, we recorded a similar episode in March 23. So that's season 3, episode 9, where we talked about structuring vehicles inside a business. Today, we wanted to talk about just the sort of general pros and cons. And I guess at the end of the episode, we'll kind of wrap it all up. So the general advice or approach that we employ in our practice. But the first thing to think about is there's a few taxes to consider by putting a car, a vehicle, in a trading business's name. One of the first attractions for some people could be getting a GST refund. So obviously you'll pay GST on the purchase, and if it's put inside a trading entity that's registered for GST, you can claim up to the luxury car tax limit, which is $68,000. So you'll get about $6,800 back, or around about $6,500 of GST. But if you go and sell that car, of course you've got, the business has to charge GST on the sale of the car. So again, if you've got a really high value car, you're not going to get that much GST back, and you're probably going to pay more GST when you sell it. So again, we're going to come back to this at the end, but the value of the vehicle is a key consideration here. Similarly, if you buy a car and then sell it down the track, you're going to book either a gain or loss on the sale, and there could be some tax consequences associated with that. So something to think about. And then fringe benefit tax. So if it's not 100% used for business purposes and it's a fringe benefit to the director, employer or associate, you're going to have to pay fringe benefit tax or make a personal contribution to make that fringe benefit tax disappear. Either way, it's something to really think about it. But different vehicles have different treatments, Mina.
That's right. So it really depends. It comes down to, like you mentioned before, the use of the vehicle. So for example, utility vehicles or utes, or, you know, vans, trucks and so forth, if they're heavily used in sort of your day-to-day work or business, whether it be carrying tools or equipment and so forth, even if there's a small portion of private use associated with that car, it doesn't attract FBT. So if it's predominantly being used for your business, then you don't really need to worry about the FBT consequences. Now, there's also similar consideration when it comes to electric vehicles or EVs. Now, as you know, the ATO is trying to sort of encourage, or the government's trying to encourage more people to be more sort of environmentally friendly, and as such, they're providing a benefit to, or a FBT exemption to, those taxpayers who purchase electric vehicles. Now, there are limits when it comes to that. Electric vehicles, I believe it's up to the luxury car tax limit of about 89,000. So it is a bit higher than the standard combustion vehicle limit, although there's not many vehicles that actually fall on that limit, unfortunately, but it's quite generous proposition by the government anyway.
And there's going to be more, of course, you know, as more manufacturers compete with Tesla, the vehicles can be overpriced, maybe.
Correct.
But, you know, from some perspective, you know, it's something really good for businesses to look at, isn't it, man? From a tax advantage perspective, if you're considering buying an EV vehicle and you're self-employed, it's a great way to do it.
Definitely. But the only consideration here is if you're a sole trader. Unfortunately, sole traders do not get this EV benefit. It's only if you're an employee of a company, you can get the benefit if you do it under a novated lease arrangement, or if you've got a company or a trading trust, then you can do it under that as well.
Yeah, so you might just end up restructuring your sole trader business into a company just to avail yourself of this opportunity. We'll cut to the chase in a second, but the last thing I wanted to talk about was really funding of cars, because this can also sort of play into the decision making as well. And so clients often ask us, you know, if we're going to go and buy a car, how should we fund it? Should we get a lease? Do I go and just get a sort of standard loan, whether it's a personal loan or a mortgage against your home? Or should you use cash to pay for the vehicle? There's a couple of considerations here. Borrowing capacity is one. So if you have some plans to access additional borrowings in the future, getting a car lease on a relatively short term, you know, sometimes car leases are 2 or 3 or 4 years, increases the repayment commitment and therefore reduces your borrowing capacity. Versus if you went and just paid cash for that vehicle, you actually preserve all your borrowing capacity. So that's something to really think about. And then secondly, it's thinking about the vehicle and the cost associated with the vehicle. And so putting a vehicle in a company name and maybe getting some deductions for that vehicle, particularly if it's obviously used a lot for business use, is a great thing to do. But at the end of the day, we're buying a depreciating asset. And if there's a lot of personal use, you know, that depreciating asset's really coming from an after-tax perspective. So for cars, typically I think about the opportunity cost. If it's a low-value car, don't go and borrow for it. Try and use cash to purchase that vehicle. If it's a very high value car, you might start thinking about using a loan just because of the opportunity cost. Like, you're better off to pay 5% on a car loan and then use that $100,000 or $200,000, whatever it might be, and invest it elsewhere or put it in a home loan offset or do something like that. So from a practical perspective in terms of how to fund it, often there's some tax considerations, but also there's some wider holistic personal considerations as well. So just generally, Mina, if a client comes and asks us, do we put the car in a business name? As a general rule, what would you say?
Really depends on a few factors. Obviously, the car value and the type of vehicle mainly. So whether it be an EV, a utility vehicle, but it's not a one for all answer, unfortunately. So if it's a low value vehicle, you know, 20, 30 odd thousand, then definitely put it in the car, because even if there's a high private use to it, the tax benefits will still outweigh the cost of FBT or the contribution you got to put in. If it's an EV and it satisfies all the requirements for the FBT exemption, then definitely put it in the company. Yep. Utility vehicles, very much the same. However, if it's a luxury vehicle, you know, a Ferrari or so forth, definitely do not put it in the company. You'll be paying more than any tax considerations you'll get on it.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, that's it from us for this week. Until next week, bye for now.